Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
If you parents could see your son and daughter leave your home after 18 years and say, I know one thing about my son, I know one thing about my daughter, he or she is stable and he or she is secure. Well, how do you do that? Stability means to be firm, to have balance. Isn't that what we want our kids to have? Stability?
The truth is, a stable and secure home is one of a child's greatest needs. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Thou Shalt Provide Stability and Security, and shares what it means to provide a home where a child can truly thrive. Stay with us. That powerful message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Provide Stability and Security.
Not 10 good ideas, not 10 thoughts, but 10 commandments if you are to be a successful parent. A successful parent. Open your Bible, if you would, the Gospel according to Mark. This story is recorded in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. But Mark gives us a good study of what's going on. Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he sees a crowd is gathered around his apostles. And he asks the question beginning in verse 16, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with the spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And Jesus answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood, and he has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he had come into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Isn't it wonderful that most of the mistakes that we make in time, they become humorous? Think of some terrible things that happened to you in the past, and you look at them today and say, you know, that's the craziest thing, the wildest thing. It's downright humorous. I remember in my first church, I was driving by one Saturday, had on my Bermuda shorts. They had just arrived to the scene of high fashion. And I was driving by, having a comfortable Saturday. I'd been on a little errand, and I happened to drive by the church, and I saw cars around the church about, you know, 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And I said, what is going on at the church? The church I pastored. And so I pulled up in the side and walked in the office. The secretary was there and says, where have you been? Have you forgotten you've got a wedding? And I remembered I went to the rehearsal Friday night. Blanked out. And I didn't have any long pants to put on. I did have some black shoes, and I put on some black shoes and shorts black shoes and socks with my Bermuda shorts, and I had a robe. I put my robe on. It went down about this far. And I said, well, maybe they'll think I have some high water breeches like they wear in Lafayette, Louisiana or something. And so I got my robe on. I remember walking in something like this. Stiff back, yes. And I went through the ceremony and I walked out and nobody said, one lady said, have you been injured? And I said, just a little back. But, you know, I was so embarrassed about it. I didn't tell anybody but Jo Beth. And she was quiet about it for about 3 or 4 weeks. So, I mean, that was a pretty good, pretty good record for me. But wild things, mistakes we made yesterday are funny today. I heard this week about a pastor who walked into a wedding. It reminded me of that. He walked into a wedding and he didn't know the name of the bride and groom. He didn't know their first name. He just didn't know their name. And he walked in and he realized that. He didn't have it written down anywhere in his manual. He said, what in the world? How do you marry people and you don't know their name? That's a challenge, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what this guy did. What he did, he went over and he said, in taking the woman whom you hold by the right hand, you promised to honor and cherish her, to honor, and went through that. And then he got and said, do you give this ring to this man as a token of your love for him? Do you give? And so he went through with yous all the way through, and he made it. But at the end of the wedding, he was to present Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so, so-and-so, and he was blank. He didn't know what he would do. So he went through all the wedding. Do you give this ring? Do you receive it? He made it until he got to the end. He was already thinking, how in the world am I going to present this couple? This is what he did. I think it's ingenious. He said, you came in here a man, and you came in here a woman. You came in here a groom, and you came in here a bride. But God has done something, and you're leaving here a husband and a wife. I present to you this husband and wife that God has given us. I thought it was an ingenious thing to do. A lot of mistakes we made in the past become very, very humorous. But the truth is, a lot of mistakes we made in the past become many times increasingly tragic. Something that's humorous becomes horror as it progresses through the years. A 2-year-old, isn't he cute? Look, he's having a little temper tantrum. He's stomping his feet and rolling on the ground and crying and shaking his fist. Isn't that the cutest thing? You come look, Billy's having a temper tantrum. Isn't that precious? But at 12, he hit his best friend and, and just with a sucker punch and beat him and didn't show any mercy for very little provocation. At 22, he slapped his wife and blocked her eyes. He knocked her down. At 32, Billy threw his son through a screen door. And that which was a little bitty thing at 2 became a tremendous problem at 32. That which was humorous became tragic. Parents, let me say a very clear, firm word to you. It is exceedingly important that you understand the task, the challenge you have when you were given life, that son, that daughter. And that which is humorous, sometimes if it is inappropriate, if it is wrong, if it is not dealt with, it will compound itself and be a tragedy later on in life. So, we think about our scripture. Here is a father who had a boy who had an affliction. Some would say he was demon-possessed. Certainly it manifested itself in the form of epilepsy. In that day, a father especially would put that boy aside. He would put him out. He would tell his wife to look after him. He would be indifferent. It would be an embarrassment to him to have an afflicted child, especially in that day. But this father didn't respond like that, did he? He loved that boy. He sought healing for that boy. He understood the nature of his malady. He knew every detail of how this sickness manifested itself. He began to search out for answers, for healing, and he was conscious and he was diligent and he was persistent. The apostles couldn't heal the boy. And Jesus said, well, if you have faith, all things are possible. He was honest to the point that many of us would not be honest. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I have a little bit of faith, but your apostles couldn't heal him. And personally, I doubt you can heal him. But Jesus honored the faith that he had, and he healed that boy. Because the father was persistent. And let me say to parents, that's one thing you have to build in your parenting, is being persistent. Mark Twain was noted as somebody who invested in all kinds of new inventions. Anybody had a new idea, Mark Twain would write a check and said, I'd like to invest in that idea. And he wrote checks all the time to all kinds of young inventors and all kinds of entrepreneurs. And that was a part of what he did. He just wrote check after check, and he lost a lot of money. And finally got to the point, he said, I am going to stop. This is the last check I'm ever going to write for any young inventor, and he just cut it off. The next person that came to him was a young man by the name of Alexander Graham Bell, and he wanted a little money for an investment about a talking machine, and Mark Twain said, I've invested in so many of these wild schemes, I'm not going to give anybody else another dime, and he didn't invest one dime in what we know as the telephone. He stopped just one investment too soon. And sometimes with our kids, we stop just one kind of moment too soon when the returns are not all in. And sometimes we think, boy, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. That next investment of your time, of your discipline, of your interest may be that thing that will take that son or daughter over the top and let them to begin to become all that God envisioned for them to become when he gave them life. And we see that's what this father did. Now, our commandment this morning says that we shall build in our children stability and security. That's big stuff, isn't it? If you parents could see your son and daughter leave your home after 18 years and say, I know one thing about my son, I know one thing about my daughter, he or she is stable and he or she is secure. Well, how do you do that? Stability means to be firm, to have balance. When a vessel is sort of running light on the water, they'll put a ballast in it and put weight on it and push it down in the water so it'll have some stability. When an airplane is flying, they trim the plane. They get the mixture of the gas and the speed and the altitude, and they level it up. They trim the engines so it'll go. It gives balance. It gives stability. Isn't that what we want our kids to have? Stability. And then also we want them to have security, to be free from phobias, from fears, to be free from the pressures of this culture that would swallow them. We want them to feel secure in and who they are and what their personality is. So that's what the commandment is. Parents, we are to build in our sons and daughters stability and security. Well, what are you talking about? Let's bring it down a level. We're talking about building in our children a spiritual foundation. A spiritual foundation. Now, some of us build this foundation that the Bible would say is made out of sand. Others of us build a foundation that the Bible would say is made out of rock. Take your Bible, if you would, and flip it over now to the Gospel according to Matthew. And let's read what Jesus said about this business of foundation building. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the bottom line is, how do you build a foundation for your sons and your daughters on a rock rather than building a foundation on sand? Or a foundation on sand, what would it look like? A foundation on rock, what would it look like? You look at the life, look at that kid, you couldn't tell about the spiritual foundation just looking, could you? But storms are going to come, then you can tell. So how can you tell? What is the approach you take practically every day to build a spiritual foundation in your son or in your daughter? First of all, there's an approach that I call the full court press approach. You know what a full court press is? That's in basketball when you pick up the players on the opposing team all over the court. You may trap them, but you just put your nose on their nose and you follow them around everywhere they go. It is a full court press. And some parents use this approach to build spiritual stuff in their sons and daughters. And they use the scripture of Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 says we are to teach when they get up in the morning, we're to teach when they eat, we're to teach when they go to bed, we're to teach when they walk around, we're to teach when they're doing everything in life, and we are to write God's principles on their hand, on their forehead, and put it on the doorpost when they walk in. We're to teach everywhere. There is to be a full court press. And a lot of parents take this literally. And so when the child is born, they have bought every religious book, they bought every Bible study, they bought every tape, they go to every class on parenting, they go to every class on spiritual memory, and they just take that son and daughter and says, we're going to build a spiritual foundation, and they force feed God, Christ, church, the Bible, religion, religious songs and tunes on that son and daughter, and on top of that, they put walls around them where they don't get in the world, and they play with only a small group of children, and their whole life is defined by what they do not do. They don't do this, and they don't do this, and they don't listen to this, and they don't go there, and they've got all of these don'ts, this is what we do not do. And when they walk over the line, usually the parent will bring out the verse, spare the rod and spoil the child. I'll tell you, I'm not going to spare the rod. I'm disciplining my children. I'm building the right spiritual stuff in their lives. And they're at church every time the door is open. And boy, they run around church and they protect them. as babes. They protect them as children. They get to be junior high. It's a little tougher, but they put those walls down. By high school, they have totally surrounded them with God, Christ, church, Bible, all the Holy Spirit, all the scripture memory, and they walk around like a junior and senior in high school, and they say, well, I guess sweet little Billy is going in the ministry, and I guess wonderful little Sarah is going to be a missionary. Oh, they just know the Bible so well. Now, the problem with this, the parents are well-intentioned, but I'll tell you, I think sometimes the supply of spiritual stuff is stronger than the demand or the capacity to receive it. It's like taking a fire hose of spiritual truth and pouring it into that son and that daughter, and by the time they get 6 years of age, they better understand fully all the understanding of eschatology, or you haven't really trained them properly in the Word of God. That's what I call the full court press way of bringing up children. That's one extreme. There's another extreme. I call it the cafeteria approach to parenting. I want to build a spiritual foundation, my children. It's like you go in a cafeteria and you get a salad, you put plenty of Roquefort dressing on it, and well, you might as well put some Thousand Island on it as well. It looks so good today. And you move in and say, I'm going to get a big steak, and you get a steak, and they pour all of that gravy over that steak. I mean, pour it all over there. Give me a baked potato. I want sour cream. I want bacon. Yeah, put some butter on as well. Give me a big hunk of bread and just cover it with fresh butter. And, oh, yeah, can you heat that apple pie and put 3 scoops of Bluebell on it? And you go out to pay to the cafeteria. You look back and say, oh, you know, they say broccoli's good for you. Give me a little bowl of broccoli. Okay, you put the broccoli on there and you go out and that's what you eat.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. What do these two men have in common? The pearl merchant was probably rich, while the farmer was likely poor, but they both got the kingdom of God. What was the requirement they each fulfilled? They sold everything. They sold it all. If you want new life, you have to give up the old life. All of it. Yes, every bit of it. What do you have to give up? Trust God to let you know exactly what it is. Lord, I give you everything I am and everything I'll ever be. Pray that prayer and you'll be amazed at what happens. Isn't it worth it to surrender everything in order to receive all that God has prepared for His sons and daughters? I'd say that is a pretty shrewd trade, wouldn't you?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling, so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today to The Winning Walk. Join us again next week as Dr. Young concludes his message with practical insights into how you can build a stable and secure home for your children. That's Monday on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.